You are now in tune to the Keys to the City podcast.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of Keys to the City. I'm your host, Trevor Keys, alongside the big brother, T3 Ted. How the hell are you?
Good, buddy.
I know you've been running around. I feel like we don't ever talk anymore. Just busy, busy, busy time right now. But for New York fans, it's a happy time. It's an excitement time. This weekend's a combination of 1994 and 1961. Why do I say both of those? Because the Rangers and the Knicks, well, it could be 30 years later. We could be talking, they did it in 94. And they do it again in 2024. And why am I talking 1961? Well, because the freaking New York Yankees offense decided to score 30 runs in back-to-back games against the Brewers and then give a nice dud of a loss last night to the Orioles. But if you're a New York fan, it's an exciting time because there's been a lot of depressing moments and a lot of dark days for the Big Apple, the New York spotlight, the New York fandom. The Knicks are playing well, could clinch tonight and go to the second round.
You think?
The Rangers are already in the second round after the sweep. The Mets and the Yankees are playing solid baseball. And then we get over, well, the Islanders are still playing as well, too, I should say. Can't forget about them, but they're coming back, trying to make a 3-1, or trying to make a huge comeback against the Carolina Hurricanes. And then what about the football teams is the big question. Because the football teams, as we know, have had some putrid days as in the NFL in the past 10 years. Let's just be honest, ladies and gentlemen, the New York Giants and the New York Jets have been shitty. Performed awful, and no excuse. But that's what happens when you draft bad coaching, and you got to keep starting over from day one. So, Ted, the NFL draft. I mean, we talked about this draft for so many months, and I know me and you talked about it coming up to it, like, and then it happened, and then we're just sitting. I remember that after night one, we're like, well, this draft went according to plan, but I got a better term for this draft. I'm going to call it the smokescreen draft. Why? Because all we heard for months about, oh, the trades, the quarterbacks, who's coming to move up, who's doing this? Oh, my God, you're going to see huge names, Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins. Oh, everybody's going to get traded on draft. I remember Daniel Jeremiah was saying the night of the draft, like probably like a half hour or so before the draft actually went live, he was like, expect a lot of movement tonight. And it really wasn't a lot at first. It was kind of just according to plan until good old Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta Falcon fans, close your ears, hide your kids and wives, because they had another scary, scary moment in the ATL. But we're not going to talk about that. And we'll talk about that in a little. I want to get to the New York football Giants. Because once again, Ted, year in and year out, it seems like death, taxes, and the New York Giants drafting in the top 10 has become the norm for us football fans. Well, once again, the New York Giants have to figure out what the hell they're going to do moving forward. Well, maybe they're one step closer, or are they going three steps backwards, Ted? Because you think about how this draft played out, and it was the big thing. Quarterbacks. That's all we heard. Oh, we got quarterback galore. We got six possible quarterbacks. Well, we had six quarterbacks go. I just don't think we had them going in the top 12 as fast as they did. It was a wild night for the standpoint of quarterback movement. But the New York Giants were one of those teams that you heard throughout the whole process. Oh, they're looking for a quarterback. They're trying to move on from Daniel Jones. And that's why I call it the smokescreen draft, because I feel like also the Giants are in that category of smokescreen, Ted. Because all we heard is the rumors of, oh, they're going to go get J.J. McCarthy. Oh, they want Drake May. Oh, they want Jaden Daniels. Oh, they want Caleb Williams. They stay in Pat. And they draft probably the most explosive player in this entire draft. And I joined Nolan Rich on Friday to talk to Giants and Jets after day one, Ted. I was excited, but I can't get so excited because of the fact
that Daniel Jones is still our quarterback.
Look, I'm not trying to be one of those fans because I've seen Giants Twitter. Giants Twitter, I don't care what anybody says. There's a reason why that poll came out last year. Giants are the most least intelligent fans in all of
football. Do you follow anyone else's Twitter? Do you follow anyone else's Twitter?
I mean,
are you a Raiders Twitter guy? Are you an Eagles Twitter guy? Do you watch the Cowboys?
Me personally, I worry about what the Giants do. And I could just see, look, the Eagles hit it out of the effing park again. They did it again. The Dallas Cowboys, they got questions. The two teams that we talked about this entire draft year that needed quarterbacks, still the Raiders and the Giants. Those are the two core teams. Everybody else that we talked about pretty much got their quarterback moving forward. Now, time will tell if it's good for them.
Or Atlanta's case, they have their quarterback for the next 10 years.
Yeah, but they might have to come back in another 2 or 3 years because realistically, Ted, how often are those quarterbacks, all six, going to hit?
Oh, 50%, 50% are going to fail and 50% are going to work.
We just saw in 2021, five of them went in the top 15. One of them is on their current team right now. So we have to wait and see how this goes. But the Giants draft Malik Nabers, an explosive playmaker. The instant reaction is explosiveness. This guy can play Odell Beckham, an Odell Beckham role where slant, 75 yards, gone. But I can't get overly excited because we still have a situation going on in that quarterback room, Ted. So I'm going to go with you. We think about how this whole process went, all the rumors, all the hoopla, and it's over with. The draft is over until next year. We have to see what happens. The New York Giants didn't take a quarterback, not even in this entire draft, which was even maybe more of a bit of a surprise for me. Didn't take any offensive line and defensive line. The O-line and the
quarterback. I was shocked.
The two biggest problems for the Giants in the past, well, realistically, since their Super Bowl win, and I know Eli was there and Eli got older, and you could see that the flaws started to come out more and more as he got older. But those have been the two big concerns. Areas of concern for this franchise is the offensive line and the quarterback. Now, I get it. The Giants added a lot in free agency with the offensive line, but it's still a time will tell. It's still to be determined. So, Ted, when you see this and seeing all the quarterbacks that were available, and I get the explosiveness of the receivers and Roma Dunzie, Marvin Harrison, and Nabers there. But what the Giants regret not going all in the sense of doing anything they could to get into that top three and taking whether it was going to be Jaden Daniels or whether it was going to be Drake May, or hell, even if it was J.J. McCarthy. Will the Giants regret it, or did the Giants make the smart decision to you personally, not me or to anybody else, to you? Do you think the Giants made the smart decision to take in Malik Nabers?
At the time, yeah, because we found out that they end up offering this year's first round and next year's first round and probably one other pick.
Yeah.
But they offered. They tried. They tried to move up. But at the end of the day, it's like fantasy football when we talk about trades all the time. Just because you want a guy so bad, how much are you going to give up everything? You're going to give up everything? Sometimes I'm looking at it as a fantasy standpoint. No, they did not. So, listen, they weren't going to ruin their future for the one guy. They offered what was fair value. This is not the housing market where you're going to offer $100,000 more than what the house is worth.
Are we talking about this? Are we talking about 2024 housing market? Or are we talking about – Well, there's a big difference
in the last 3 years. Yeah. I mean, that's what I sense. I mean, at least from what you said is the Giants offered two first-round picks and probably another pick that we're not mentioning, but it doesn't really matter. The Patriots said no. And here's the thing. If the Patriots don't want to – and this is something going back to Gettleman. If they don't want to trade with you, then you don't have a trade. You can offer them five first-round picks. If they like the guy that they want, they're not trading with you. So the Patriots, they were offered three first-round picks from the Minnesota Vikings, we just heard. This year's two and next year's one. They didn't want to do it. They could have three first-round picks.
Yep.
They wanted Drake May. They took the guy. So all this smokescreen crap and stuff that you were talking about beforehand and and whatnot was all nonsense. The Drake May, oh, he might fall. How far will he fall? J.J. McCarthy's going to rise. What it says to me was Minnesota – really had Drake May as their number one guy. So they chose their second best guy in J.J. McCarthy. They were coming up for Drake May. They weren't coming up for J.J. McCarthy. Because if they were, why didn't they come up for four or five for J.J. McCarthy before the Giants? Yeah. Why didn't they trade up with the Giants? Why didn't the Vikings come up at 7, 8, 9? They moved up one spot to the Jets to get J.J. McCarthy just to ensure that they got a quarterback. Yeah. What it says to me is, though, the Giants and the Raiders, as you said before, have major question marks going forward. Now, listen, what it does is it puts faith in Daniel Jones. It gives him another one-year shot deal. You don't want to hear the thing about, listen, give him another year. You don't need 6 years to tell if a guy's good enough. You don't.
Nowadays, it doesn't even take 1 year, Ted, it seems like, because C.J. Stroud came in and lit the fucking NFL fire last year. The other thing.
We look at Jordan Love, right?
Yeah.
The guy's been sitting behind for the last 2 or 3 years behind Aaron Rodgers. Well, he had 1 year really kind of prove it because I think if Jordan Love kind of really shit the bed this year and didn't play up to the the potential he did, especially the second half of the season.
Yep.
We might be talking about the Packers trying to look for a quarterback. Maybe they would have been in the market for a veteran quarterback. So the Giants, listen, we're not going to relive this. We're not going to keep repeating ourselves over and over. The Giants
made what we do, because we're literally going on year six with Daniel Jones.
At the end of the day, it doesn't matter about six, seven, eight, nine, ten. The Giants paid him the $82 million for 2 years. So it's really the final year of the deal. You know, the Giants are literally going into the year with two backup quarterbacks in Drew Lock and Daniel Jones. And whoever plays the best, I think the Giants hope it's Daniel Jones. We'll see what type of health he will be in. The reasonable choice is he will not be the quarterback all season long because of his injury concerns throughout his career. And that's one of the major problems I have with Daniel Jones. It's not even his play. He's missed 23 games over the past five seasons.
Well, his play hasn't helped either.
I know, I get it, but he's been hurt too, which doesn't help. So, you know, would his numbers be better if he was?
What did Herm used to say? Your best ability is your availability.
Of course, absolutely. So, you know, it's funny because I told you, I'll be dead honest. Like after the second round, I didn't really follow the draft on Saturday. I totally forgot it was on. I was doing other stuff. I was looking at
You were a busy man. That's what you got me.
What was more shocking to me as a Giant fan was that they didn't choose an offensive lineman or defense lineman. Now, I can understand the D lineman because they filled the roles and they have guys there. I was surprised they didn't just add another offensive lineman. I get it. The Giants have been adding offense. I think the Giants have drafted the most.
Giants and Jets have been like the top two teams investing in draft and linemen in the draft.
I look at this year really for the Giants is really a full make or break.
But do you have any like going into this upcoming season? Now, I don't know what the rosters are going to look like because there's still a hell of a lot more time to maybe make some moves, pick up some guys, cut some people.
I will be honest.
When you look at this team right now, what do you expect from this team?
I will get the Giants as the fourth best team in the NFC East right now.
I agree.
Philly is the top of the notch right now. We saw with offensively, they're stacked. They're one of the best offenses, player-wise, personnel-wise, through the league. I know, I understand they lost Jason Kelce, but when you add A.J. Brown, you got Devontae Smith, you still have the tight end, you add Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, hopefully full health. Right. They have the best offense in the division. Then I still look at the Cowboys. The Cowboys still have playmakers. Now, I didn't realize, just looked it up quick, the Cowboys didn't draft a running back.
They didn't draft a running back at all.
But they brought in Zeke. So, listen, hey, Zeke helped me win a fantasy championship last year down the stretch. So
yeah, but we're not talking – if you're a Dallas fan, you don't care about fantasy championships. Yeah, you care about actual championships.
So, I still –
Washington did a hell of a job.
I would still take take Dallas number two, Washington number three. The question will be is how fast can Jaden Daniels pick up the offense? How well will they be able to process the NFL caliber play? And we've seen that a lot with rookies. They struggle for the first month. Even C.J. Stroud struggled. He said in a recent podcast, I think it was at Parsons, he said, I was forcing balls the first couple of weeks. But then you start to process things. Even Jordan Watt, remember, he really kind of looked like shit.
Oh, his first half of the season.
Like 7-8 weeks. And then the second half of the season, he was MVP caliber player. So was C.J. Stroud. So that'll be the question with Washington. And, of course, all three teams have their quarterback. And I can't really worry about the rest of the divisions. I have to worry because it's always like when you talk about sports, win your division first, then win your conference and focus on the Super Bowl. The Giants are now the worst team in the division based on personnel and quarterback. Now, will they probably find a way to be a top three team in the division and maybe be Washington? I don't know. Maybe because of coaching.
I don't know.
But I look at the Giants as – I don't have high expectations this year. You know, it's sad to say. I don't see where you're like, okay, this is what we can ride our head, or, you know, hold our hat on something high. It's like, okay, we have questions still at the offensive line. You know, so that's an unproven commodity.
Yep.
We don't know what's going on with Darren Waller yet. I think you and me kind of both suggest.
Well, they took Theo Johnson from Penn State, so I'm pretty sure they're moving on without.
Based on his rap career and his and what's going on with his personal life and divorce, I think his mindset's just not there in football. So I don't see him coming back. Maybe he'll come back, but even when he did play last year, didn't work out to what we expected. We keep thinking, oh, Darren Waller from 5 years ago. No, we're living in the past. So he stinks. We don't really have a number one running back. I get it. We got brought in Devin Singletary, but let's be honest. He's not Nothing special. He's a
don't tell that to Florida. Player. Don't tell that to the Florida Atlantic fans down here. He's a legend.
He's a flex player, but he's not a number one, number two. I mean,
are we still talking about fantasy flex? You just said flex. This man is on fire.
The only when you're a champion, you know, you can talk.
Oh, here he goes. He wins. He doesn't know how to handle winning. He wins his first fantasy championship, and he doesn't know how to handle it.
I think the only thing that we could maybe hold our held on is that we have speed at the receiver positions with a lot of potential with Jalen Hyatt, with Wandell Robinson, Neighbors and Darius Slayton. Now we just hope whoever does, you know, throw the passes this year.
I'm not opposed to having Drew Lock because I know he might be inaccurate at times, but he takes chances, bro.
Throw the ball.
He takes chances. Like Daniel Jones, I've been seeing people on Twitter. I've seen people on Instagram. Like, oh, this is a make or break for Daniel Jones. I'm thinking to myself like, what fan base literally can sit there and be like, you're six, this is a make or break. When you're seeing the Steelers, the Jets, the Bears, three teams that have had similar quarterback play
they brought in Russell Wilson and they exactly moved
where you, that's even another team where you would put team where you put four those four teams that have all quarterback play that would be very very similar to the Giants and Daniel Jones's play past couple years. And what did they do? They all moved on. Like the Jets moved on last year from Zach Wilson. They went after Rodgers like, shit, we can't win with this kid. We got to go get Rodgers. The Steelers, shit, we can't win with Kenny Pickett. We're trading him as a backup. The Bears, oh, wow, Caleb Williams, generational prospect. We're not going to keep Fields. And then you just said the Broncos. They just gave Russell Wilson 18 months ago or 19 months ago now one of the biggest contracts in NFL history. Guess what? He's on the Steelers. But we're sitting here year six. Now, I get it. I'm not trying to be a hater. I love the New York Giants. I'm going to root for the New York Giants. I'm going to root for whoever quarterback is playing. But I'm also a realistic. You could think positive, but I'm going to think realistic, Ted. And that's the thing. Like, we've seen enough tape of Daniel Jones. Oh, well, 2 years ago when, yeah, he also played that Minnesota Vikings team. Was the worst defense in probably almost in history. Their defense was atrocious. Anybody, I mean, Ted, they would have made you look like, I know you were a quarterback, but they would have made you look like a great quarterback too. Like, everybody's relying, oh, well, he had a good year 2 years ago. He had a good year his rookie year. We're talking about his rookie year. We're talking about a guy that just got paid $40 million. And we're saying he's got to be, I mean, $40 million is top 10, top 15 paid quarterbacks in the league.
And, I mean, you look at the Saints.
And he plays like a bottom five quarterback.
And the Saints signed Derek Carr last year, and they drafted Spencer Rattler in the fourth round. So you saw, see? I mean, so the biggest – listen, you want to move on from the Giants thing. There's nothing more to say. We'll see what happens. With the Giants, it's – hopefully Daniel Jones stays healthy. Hopefully Daniel Jones plays well. That's all you can hope for as a Giant fan. And then hopefully the Giants have enough balls next year to move on from him. And, or if anything – here's the only thing, and I'll leave it at this for me with the Daniel Jones is if he gets hurt again, he's guaranteed money the following year.
They're screwed.
So that'll be the biggest question. But hopefully, as a Giant fan, you're like, okay, listen, I'm a Giant fan. You got to support your team. That's what you do. You can criticize them, but you still support them. I would criticize anyone else.
Of course.
Hopefully, he stays healthy. Hopefully, he plays well. Hopefully, he gives us a shot to be competitive in the NFC because now a year later, the NFC looks a lot more stacked than it did a year later. So that's all you could say in that sense with the New York Giants. They took the best available player for themselves where they thought they could get the most out of it. They didn't need an offense. They weren't going to take J.C. Latham. There wasn't a tackle there. Unless maybe Joe Walt, if he felt him, that they would have thought about. Brock Bowers was way too early to take at six. I'm not taking a tight end in the top six. Mm-hmm. Probably not taking a tight end in the first round. We've seen too many tight ends, especially even receivers. No, there's dynamic receivers you can get, but this receiving class, especially the top three, they stood out because the difference between Roma Dunze at nine and where the next guy drafted
which was Brian Thomas Jr.,
which I believe was in the 20s.
23
in Jacksonville. So, you know, we've usually seen where we're like, okay, a couple of receivers, one or two or three will go in that top 10, and then you get that run in the teens. And there was no run. So there was a gap between the fourth and the third guy. And, you know, Dunsie ended up being the third guy. Because I think if Chicago
Well, you could have gone either way with either Neighbors or Dunsie as, well, as the exactly. second or third guy. And
I think if Neighbors was there at nine, I think Chicago would have took them.
100%.
So, 100%. Even more so. So, it works out for them. I love what the Bears did in the draft. Yeah. I mean, especially
are you happy with the Giants? Because I look at the draft, they got a receiver, they need a receiver.
I'll be honest with you. This is all I'll be honest, dead honest with you.
Go ahead.
Okay, other than Neighbors, all right, who I know much more so, and you know a lot more of the first round guys because those are the guys that get the hype. I don't know much about the second, third, fourth, fifth round guys. I do know the safety out of Minnesota is
ball
more
hawk. Of
a center fielder, ball hawk. Yeah. He's not really in it, but that's okay. Play deep second.
We need turnovers. Turnovers are good.
Be our internal role that we used to have. All right. Be the playmaker in the deep secondary.
Yep.
The hardest thing about the draft is everyone has grades and potential on these guys, but no one really knows what this guy's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, when we drafted Ahmad Bradshaw in the seventh round out of Marshall, you didn't know that he was going to be the back he was for the New York Giants. You didn't know he was going to have the impact he does. So I don't know what these guys' impact is going to be on the Giants until midseason form. You know, you can give all these grades and say, they got this guy and that guy. You don't know shit. You have no idea how well that guy is going to pick up the offense.
Good example, you know, Ted.
Go ahead.
I was going to say good example of this is also is like, nobody knew Isaiah Pacheco was going to be, and he was a seventh-round pick.
And we're using seventh-round guys, but you just don't – you don't like Russell
But Wilson. That's the point. It's like they had seventh-round guys making impact.
They just signed Matt Flynn, and they drafted Russell Wilson in the third round.
And guess who the starter
beat out both of them. So you don't know. You don't know what receivers. You don't know injuries. You don't know how well the things are going to pick up. You know, you really –
There's no perfect – everybody that says generational, he's perfect. Like, there is no perfect prospect. Like, maybe if they go to the perfect situation, that's different. But if they go like let's just get into the quarterbacks. Like, the Giants, they missed the opportunity. I get it. They made the effort. I applaud Joe Shane for going to make the effort. I give them that. They did everything they could. But, Ted, like you said early on, when you want your guy – Why do you want to move on?
I'll say to this. We had six quarterbacks drafted in the top 12.
Crazy.
I understand the top three.
Okay. Yeah, you knew those three were going 1, 2, 3.
Okay. The Atlanta one was, of course, and that's
come on. That's
been the biggest storyline of the draft, which is a shocker because it's one thing if Kirk Cousins was already on the roster, but they signed him in free agency. They gave him $100 million guaranteed. They gave him $180 million over 4. So it's really a two-year deal with the extension of the following 2 years. You will get a guy like Michael Penix, who's already 24 years old. The way they're thinking is like, he could play in 3 years, but he's going to be like 27. So, like, that should have been – he should be
playing. Well, he's turning 25, Ted, in a week.
It's like Mahomes is like 27. You know,
Ted,
like,
you and him have the same birthday, so he's going to be 25 in a week.
That's a head-scratching move because – In the sense
head scratcher move, that's one of the most confusing moves in the history of the NFL. In the NFL draft,
most people said, okay, you drafted Kirk Cousins, so this team is at least playoff caliber.
Yeah,
there was all the defensive players still available. You still had a Dunsie, you still had Bowers. You had offensive linemen, you had a bunch of personnel. You could have traded back and pick up more draft. You chose to take a quarterback. Now, I get it. You love them. I don't have a problem with taking quarterbacks if you know their end of the stretch. Now, here's the thing. Cousins is coming off a torn Achilles. So you don't know how well his health is going to play out. You don't know about his injury concerns. There's a chance that Cousins gets hurt again. Maybe his mobility will be even worse. So Penix might come into a perfect situation where you're like, I have Kyle Pitts.
Do you know what I would have given this team, like, applaud if Justin Fields was the quarterback. If Justin Fields was the quarterback of Atlanta.
That's even worse.
Here's
the thing. Cousins has a
– No, you add competition.
If you're bringing in the new guy.
With Cousins coming in, immediately says –
Cousins comes in, he's the guy. He's the guy. It's
but you already one. Are off if to Fields an awkward – go ahead.
Why would you bring Fields in and draft Penix?
It's because more so there's more of a chance of competition, but it doesn't. It's not as awkward.
If you have Cousins, like, he's the veteran presence.
Do you know how awkward it is? This is already the start you have.
Penix is going to be over than Justin Fields.
Think about if you're an Atlanta fan, like, you're coming off of a season where you were this close from winning a playoff or getting to the playoffs
because your quarterback you would have been the playoffs
because your quarterback play was awful. Was bottom of the league last year. You have playmakers on both sides, offense and defensively. The biggest need they needed was a defensive end. You had both Latu Latu there and Dallas Turner. Didn't take him. My thing about why this is already off to an awkward start, as Marcus Spears said, you gave a man $100 million. Like, if Atlanta traded for Fields and traded a fifth or a sixth-round pick, and then they're like, okay, we traded for a sixth-round pick. Let's go draft Penix. Let's have competition. The best man's going to be the guy. You're drafting a guy. You're top 10. You're a top 10 pick.
You hope he has impact on your team.
Like, an impact. You want an impact player. Like, the Patriots is different because you don't have to start Drake May. You can let him sit, learn the offense, let Brissett play, and you got these playmakers. You seven of their eight draft picks were all on the offensive side. So I get that. Maybe you want to push him into, you know, week eight or something. But for this team where now you just went Cousins, and now you're saying to your, now you're saying to your fan base, hold on, that, oh, well, we got a chance now to compete for a division title and maybe get to the playoffs. So let's add more talent. You just said it, Ted. Roma Dunze was still there. You had offensive line if you wanted to, even though they got a stout offensive line. You have playmakers already. You could have added the Ed Rusher. You could have added Bowers. You could have had a two tight end set with him and Pitts. Oh, my God. But no. You go after a guy that's 24 years old, about to be 25 in a week, Ted, and is probably not going to play. Maybe he plays this year. Maybe he does. If Cousins doesn't, if Cousins, you know, with the mobility and he gets hurt again, knock on wood, you don't want to see that happen. Yeah. But realistically, you're thinking 2-3 years, you're going to have a 27-year-old rookie quarterback playing football? That's a waste. That is a waste. I don't care what Dan Orlowski says. I don't care what Colin says. This is a wasted pick for a team that is trying to get into the upper echelon in the NFC, Ted.
And you don't know what your team's going to be in 2-3 years. Drake London might not be in this team no more. He might not be good enough. Bijan might be, you know, he might not be, God forbid, he gets hurt or something happens.
Kyle Pitts,
you know, they just picked up his 50 option, so you don't know. Listen, when you take a guy in the top 10, you're hoping he is going to have an immediate impact on your team.
Yeah.
So, okay, now here's the other thing. Now, I think because of that, you got a reach. You got the reach in Bo Nix. Now, J.J. McCarthy, I have no problem with coming up at 10, whatever.
Well, you knew that was happening once they did that. You knew that.
They still got Sam Darnold. If the veteran guy, if you want to start him off the bat, see what happens. Maybe J.J. McCarthy beats
him. Let's be honest. Penix threw everything off. Once Penix got drafted, that's why Bo Nix got drafted 12th.
Yes.
100%.
Because no, 100,000%.
He probably wasn't going in the first round. Maybe.
First of all, I've never seen anything like six quarterbacks in the top 12. It was literally six quarterbacks, three receivers, and what, three offensive linemen.
Yeah, so six quarterbacks
and a tight end, and throw the tight end in there.
No, Bowers was 13.
Oh, 13. He went 13. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You had Joe Alt, J.C. Latham, and Fashanu. Yeah, so you have three offensive line, three receivers, and six quarterbacks in the top 12.
Which is remarkable. Now, here's the thing. I think Bo Nix is a way reach. I think it's a huge reach at 12.
Do you think it's more of a reach than him or Penix? Or do you consider Penix a reach? Or do you consider – hold on. Do you consider Penix a reach, or do you just consider it just an awful pick where you consider Bo more?
I think it's a bad positioning for a team that didn't need that. That didn't have that need, wasn't a pressing need.
Yeah.
I understand that maybe Atlanta's thinking, okay, here's our thought process. We're never going to draft it. Hopefully we're not drafting in the top 10 anytime soon. We have our young veteran quarterback who's going to learn from a veteran. I say young veteran. I say it in a joking manner as a 24-year-old guy, a mature guy. But you're going to learn from a guy like Kirk Cousins, right? We're going to have personnel and players around you. So when you are there and ready to go, you'll be support. He stays healthy, you know, and we have that backup guy just in case, which, you know, listen, what did they say? 50 plus quarterbacks participated or started last year at one point 60, or another.
63. I forgot it was either 63 or 66.
There's going to be a chance that Penix plays at one point or another next year.
If that was the case, Ted, I know they probably – maybe obviously it says now. Why didn't they just go after McCarthy if they were looking quarterback? He's 20 years old.
Yeah, I know. Well, they didn't like him because Penix is a better. Penix is a higher, I would say, player in sense of ceiling. You know what I mean? I feel like he's got bigger potential. I feel like he has more of a home run threat.
I just think with a
JJ McCarthy feels like an advanced Baker Mayfield. Good quarterback.
I just think with a team that is very close on the cusp.
Hey, listen.
And in a bad division. It's not like you're in like the AFC North or something. You're in the NFC
McCarthy,
South.
But here's the thing. I would say this. J.J. McCarthy and Caleb Williams, both in the same division, go to the two best situations of any of the rookie quarterbacks. Caleb, of course.
I mean, Caleb, you can't, if you're Caleb Williams and you're the number one pick and you're going into a situation where you have DeAndre Swift, a better offensive line, Rome Odunze, Cole Kmet, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Gerald Everett, Justin Fields is sitting in Pittsburgh like, yo, what the fuck happened? Like, where is this
for 5 years?
Yeah, where was this for the past five years?
I've seen that. The Jets did that too with kind of Jack Wilson. Like, they drafted him, and then all of a sudden they got Rodgers, and then they're trying to get all this personnel. So I look at those two quarterbacks as the best situations of the six quarterbacks. Bo Nix, way too high for 12. He's not the 12th best player. He's not worth it.
Is he going to start? Does he immediately start for them?
I think so.
In a room full of Zach Wilson and Jared Stidham.
I mean, he's another guy who's been there 24. He's got to be 23, 24 years old.
He's 24 years old. He's most likely in college football history.
I think there's a high expectation for him. I think it's going to be tough for him.
He's the top 15 pick. Of course he is. He's got to be the savior. He's
drafted in Denver. You look at like, okay, where's their offensive personnel? Their offensive line's weak. You know, he doesn't have – everyone's relating him to try to Drew Brees. Sorry, it's the
– the aliens, they're coming.
It's the video thing, but whatever. You're hoping he's a Drew Brees. That's the comp for him. That's the expectation. But Drew Brees didn't really come to Drew Brees until like 4, 5, 6 years later.
He went to the Saints.
By then, he's already 30. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I think that's a far cry of what's realistic. I think he has the potential to be okay and good. I look at Bo Nix as like a Baker Mayfield. What Baker Mayfield is now in Tampa Bay. That's what you hope Bo Nix is. A guy that can – smart, decisive, get the ball out, get it to playmakers, be able to understand Sean Payton's offense.
Yeah.
Surround him with personnel. Get him a running back. Well, they have Javonte Williams. You know, they have Courtland Sutton. I don't really know.
They got Mr. Franklin. That was a great pick by them. They picked up Troy Franklin in round 4. They got Troy Franklin, who was supposed to be a second-round pick in round 4. Solid pick, teaming up with his college teammate. To me, I think the two winners, when I think of this overall draft, one of them's in our division. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, their biggest need was secondary help in their first two picks.
They didn't have to trade up.
Nope. Were they possibly the two top corners in DBs in this draft outside of Terrion Arnold and Quinnen Mitchell and Cooper DeJean? Like, Howie Roseman. Wow.
And they sat there last year at 9 and got Jalen Carter.
Took Jalen Carter last year. It's like, yeah, let's just. And then the other team is Pittsburgh. Pennsylvania. I was going to say is Pittsburgh.
Listen, for Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, you got to like what they did in the sense of they're
trying to get back to old Steelers football, man.
With a solid offensive line.
Yeah,
they have weapons there. The quarterback, whoever.
I heard they're trying to go make a trade for a significant playmaker. There's a rumor from Brian McFadden. It could be either T. Higgins, could be Ayuk, maybe Courtland Sutton, could be something like that where, hey, you add a couple pieces like that to a team. And in that division,
Debo?
I mean, it could be Debo. I mean, there were so many rumors. That's why this draft, I was so excited for this draft because of the fact of what were the Giants going to do first off? Were they going to go get the quarterback or were they going to stay in put and see what were they going to do?
Here's the other thing, if I may jump on with this. Go on. Right before the draft, we thought we heard 49ers possibly trading Ayuk and Debo. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
We were wondering if the T. Higgins trade was going to happen at all in any time.
Yeah.
The Bills, you were wondering when they were going to draft a receiver. They just kept trading back.
Yeah, they don't.
Do you like Keon Coleman with them?
I do, but I feel like they – I mean, if that's going to be their number one receiver – unless they're trying to make a trade, I really thought because of all the trade,
the problem is their salary cap.
What I really thought they were going to, yeah, that's the shitty part for them is that if they were trying to go get
Diggs' contract comes off the books, that's when they'll have a better capability of doing things.
What I thought they were trying to do when they kept trading, I can't believe they traded with the Chiefs, and then the Chiefs, of course, the Chiefs get Xavier Woods. I mean, I think that was like one of the most obvious picks. Oh, I think I said that too. And you're like, they could take Ladd McConkey. I think I was like on McConkey or
Worthy
or Xavier Worthy. But for that team to keep trading back. I was like, okay, so I think I understand what they're trying to do. Maybe they're going to use all those all that draft capital to go make a splash, whether it was an Ayuk, whether it was a Debo, whether it was a T. Higgins. But then you also got to think, like Ted just said, how are you going to pay him when you're kind of in salary cap hell right now?
They have to wait till next year's Diggs contract comes off the books.
I mean, are the Bills taking a huge step back this year? I mean, do you think about the teams like that have been pretty consistent in the pecking order, I should say, in the NFL, where like Dallas, does Dallas take a step back because they really didn't address a lot this year? Like, if you really thought when Jerry goes all in and then they don't go get a running back, they took Tyler Guyton, who is very raw. We don't know how he's going to pan out for that team, but they needed offensive line help. They didn't add any other playmakers other than Zeke. Like, and then the Bills. So those two teams that are like, okay, they're taking a step back now, like a drastic step back, where you see a team like the Chiefs and the Eagles, they're like, oh, they're just stockpiling talent again. It's fascinating to see what teams like when it comes to draft time, because
we thought the Ricky Parcell trade signing or drafting the 49ers was wild, but you got to look at, they have Juwan Jennings, I believe, is in the last year's contract. Debo's salary cap this year is $21 million. He's been in trade talks, plus he's had injury concerns. So you feel like Debo's got a 1 or 2 year maybe window with the 49ers. Okay, Ayuk wants to be traded or get paid.
And he wants a big contract, yeah.
So, you know, and of course I think the 49ers are looking like, what are we going to have to pay Purdy again next year? Because you're probably going to have to pay Purdy in a year or so.
Going to have to figure that out.
You know, what's going to happen with McCaffrey? How much are you, how long are you going to ride with him? So the 49ers – You look at here's the thing. I think when you look at the draft, you look at the draft in two situations. You look at the draft in the beginning because, of course, that's one of my most exciting picks, the top five. So you look at those bad teams and see where they can hit on and see where those players. Then you look at the end of the draft. And you look at, okay, these are the 4, 5, 6 teams at the end of the draft. We were like, okay, you were in the Super Bowl. You were a conference championship. You were 1, 2 games away. What did you do to uplift your team to take that next step? I love what Detroit did. You got one of the best corner, Taron Arnold. You got him at 34. I believe you got him in the second round. They traded
him. No, they got him in the first round. They traded up. They traded up with Dallas.
No, I thought it was 34. Oh.
They dropped up to 24. Dallas was the 24th pick. Dallas traded back to 29. Sorry, I must have read the number wrong. It's fine. And Arnold was still there, and the crowd obviously loved it. I thought that was one of my favorite picks in the entire draft.
Now you have your opposite corner of Carlton Davis, they had a pretty good defense last year. You know, their offense is already stacked. Yeah. They did what they had to do. They signed the best right tackle in football in Penei Sewell. Yep. They signed one of the better young receivers in football in Amon St. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
So what that also says, too, with him and A.J. Brown getting paid this week is, well, we know Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson are getting bigger deals than them.
Yeah, when the hell are they getting contracts, and how much are they getting per year? I'm saying I think the starting point for both of those guys is $35 million.
At least 30. Start at 30. I guess. Well, I just saw, 30. I guess the Bengals offered T. Higgins 20 something. He didn't want
that. Oh, if they're offering T. Higgins 20 something, they're offering Chase right off the bat $35
million. $30 something million. Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's obviously.
Trey Henderson.
I think. I mean, you look at it, when you look at this draft too, the NFC got better. And I think the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah. You look at the NFC.
I think the Chiefs.
Who's the worst
in the
NFC North?
And the worst team in the NFC North? Probably the Vikings.
You gotta like with
because I'm not taking. How would you? How can I say the Lions? Or what am I knocking them for?
Well, you're not
the Packers.
Knock,
what am I knocking them for? The Bears. I mean, if there's one team that's made it probably the biggest substantial leap this season, is the Bears. I mean, they go get Caleb Williams, then they go add all those offensive toys for him. I mean, that's going to be an offense that. Oh shit, the Bears are on TV. We got to go watch now. And then the Vikings, yeah, you still got Jefferson. You got Aaron Jones. You got Addison. You got Hockenson. All comes down to JJ McCarthy. Like JJ, all we've heard this year, the most polarizing player in this entire draft this season, it's yours. It's yours for the taking. Go take it. Are you going to beat Sam Darnold? Is Sam Darnold going to ride it out for a couple of weeks? Or are you going to take it and be the guy that, well, some people, I think, especially with the team that's surrounding him now, has a chance to be a very, very good quarterback in this league because of the talents that are around him. And then you see the teams like the Giants and the Raiders where, I think the Raiders, that was one of the more confusing picks too. I get it. You get Bowers at 13. Hell of a pick because he's a hell of a talent. But you just drafted Michael Mayer last year. Like, Michael Mayer was a second-round pick, and he was a hell of a tight end in college. He was pretty solid for your offense last year, too. I mean, if you want to run a 22 personnel, that's fine with me. If you're trying to run the ball with Samir White and Gardner Minshew as your guy right now, Antonio Pierce, I have no problem with it. But I feel like there was more needs for that team where you could have gone offensive line. You could have gone secondary. You could have used another maybe edge rusher. You can never have enough offensive linemen, cornerback, or edge rushers in today's NFL. You can never have enough. I know that they went Tyree Wilson last year, but you can never have enough because of the way offenses are moving up-tempo. You want to have depth so you can get new guys in and have fresh guys. Fresh legs are better so you can get to the quarterback. I was surprised by that pick. I think they just went best player available at that time. I was happy with the draft. As a Giant fan, I would give this draft a solid B+. B to B. From what I've seen, a lot of reports, a lot of people give the Giants a really good draft grade, which that's fine with. I just think the biggest thing is, okay, you got your number one receiver. You got an explosive receiver. You're going to get the ball to him now?
I mean, you hope.
I mean, Daniel Jones is not known for throwing the ball down the field, and Neighbors has been that type of guy.
The draft is just so interesting because I'm just looking at some takeaways, some other things like the Cardinals.
I just think it's hilarious that
Trey Benson.
Yeah, right before the Giants.
You got Trey McBride. So there's a lot of things. Did the Jets actually, I think, made a smart move in drafting Olu Fashanu, the tackle out of Penn State.
Yes.
Listen, I get it. They already have a starting offensive line, but it's a young kid with a lot of potential, and you have multiple guys on that offensive line that have injury concerns, you know. Tyron Smith has not played in 16, 17 games in like three straight years. So, listen, their best chance of succeeding this year, if we didn't notice anything last year, is Aaron Rodgers standing up tall in the pocket, not on the ground. Of
course. Most important. So,
if the Jets, you know, everyone's like, oh, because that's why the question is, did the Chargers screw up not taking one of the top two receivers?
Honestly, when I look at the draft first,
when they took Joe Walton, it's like, okay, do you have enough weapons around Justin Herbert, considering they're going with Quentin Johnson, Josh Palmer.
Well, you know who they took second round, which I think is going to be
Ladd McConkey.
I think he's going to be.
And then they drafted two receivers in the seventh round, and Brendan Rice, Jerry Rice's son, and another kid.
This is what I also was going to say quickly before we sign off. Is I'm looking at the first round, and outside of the Penix and Bowers pick, I believe everybody, like we said, drafted for need. Like when you look at, if you really look at the first round, every position or every player that got drafted, that team needed what that was one of their main team needs. Yeah. Outside of the Falcons and outside of the Raiders, this was kind of a draft that was like very hyped up and kind of gave you like a blue balls feeling because you got so excited for it that you're like, oh my God, there's going to be so much movement. Like I said,
and really kind of went to form.
And that's why I'm going to end it, and that's why I call it the smokescreen draft, because for months all we heard is, oh, we're going to see big-time players getting traded. The countless times we heard the Giants, oh, the Giants are done with Daniel Jones. They're like J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, Jaden Daniels. They stand pat. All these teams kind of just stand pat, didn't make any trades. Like, well, I remember we were FaceTiming throughout. It's like, no trades. First six picks, first seven, first eight, first nine. We're like, there's no trades. Like, nobody's making a trade up. It's like, what's going on? And then Minnesota had the first two trades.
Yeah.
They go get JJ, and then they go get Dallas Turner.
They went to go get their top two needs in a quarterback and pass rusher. And they got them. And they got the second or first best pass rusher, depending on your rankings, in Dallas Turner. Yep. And then, you know, they got their quarterback. They got the fourth best quarterback, maybe fifth, depending. Listen, no one knows. It's all rankings, all potential. No one really knows. Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold went 1 and 2, and guess what? Lamar Jackson.
Whoa. Sam Darnold didn't go number two, Ted.
No, as a receiver, I'm a quarterback. Now, I know.
Wait, Sam Darnold's a receiver now? Wow.
He could have done better. But Baker went one, and then Sam Darnold went two for quarterbacks. Josh Rosen was three.
No, Josh Allen was three. Josh Rosen Allen was 10th. Was 10th no, overall. Rosen was 10th. He was fourth. I'm just
Josh Allen. When did Josh Allen get drafted?
Seven.
Then Rosen went 10 or 11.
And then Lamar was 31 or 32.
31-32.
Remember when the Giants were 34 that year? We're like, oh my God, we might get Lamar. Ravens traded up and took him. We're like, damn.
Yeah, Giants were never taking him because that's not what the Giants organization does.
Well, they should have. Because look at Baltimore right now. They're contending year in and year out, and the Giants are in the top five.
The top two guys that they thought were going to be the impactful guys end up being
the last. The funny thing about this whole draft with the quarterback situation, Ted, is the countless amount of times we also heard, oh, J.J. McCarthy may be the third quarterback taken. He wasn't even the fourth.
No, could have been the second.
No, there's no way Washington. I told you, I should have bet it. I should have bet a long time ago. That was a lock.
This draft class is always every draft class, especially this one, because there's six, and will all only be talked about and be based on how well these quarterbacks plan out.
Yeah,
because if you look at the quarterback class 4 or 5 years ago, or 3 or 4 years ago, the Trevor Lawrence draft class,
2021,
Trevor Lawrence is really the only guy still standing. Everyone else has fallen off the mountain.
That's how fast it could go. You think you got your quarterback.
All done.
You think
that was the class they were like, oh, we've got some stars here. We got a lot of nobodies.
Sadly, one or two of these guys out of these six will fail.
Oh, easily.
You don't want to see any of these players fail. You don't want to see any of them fail. Yeah. But that's the sad truth and the harsh reality of the NFL, that two or three of these guys will fail. And three will succeed. If I had to pick right now, the three to me, Caleb, Jaden, and J.J. McCarthy, based off of what they have in the sense of talent surrounding them, I think Drake May is going to have the toughest because of the lack of talent, but I think he has a situation where he could flourish because he doesn't have to rush into the situation. Nope. I think Penix, we're just going to have to see with that one because
that's a wait-and-see game.
That's just the ultimate wait-and-see game. And then Bo Nix. Hey, if you're a Denver fan, I guess you're going to be happy. So hopefully Bo leave in the mile high.
Hopefully you got your quarterback.
And the Giants still have Daniel Jones. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, all New York fans, good luck tonight to the Rangers. It's a good
Rangers
time to be
here.
I know, but I'm just excited. Good luck to the Rangers because we got a big series coming up.
Don't worry about the Knicks tonight.
I'm not a Knicks fan, though. But
– Laker fan.
I'm a Laker fan, but
how'd they do last night? All right, end it.
Oh, because you feel good because your Orlando Magic are still playing for the first time in 10 years? Congratulations.
All that hype for the Lakers and nothing.
It's the same reason. What are you going to do?
LeBron's going to leave and you'll be stuck with Anthony Davis.
Just like my NBA season. He's going to retire. Remember he retired in my season?
Yeah, I know. And then you traded for Jason Tatum.
Don't remind me, man. We got to restart that whole thing. Got to restart the whole thing. The whole caboodle.
We don't have time. NCAA football is coming out.
Oh, I can't wait. 10 years in the making, bro. 10 years in the making. But Jalen Brunson is the man. If you don't like him, you have a problem with yourself as a human being. Because that is the man. I love Jalen Brunson. Ladies and gentlemen, we are Keys to the City. We'll see you next episode. We are out.
You are now in tune to the Keys to the City podcast.